July 23rd, 1995. Rob speaking at the Barnyard Community Room in Carmel, California. All right, so we're recording. Yes. May 10 points. I got to check all my parts. I feel like Tom Arnold. Yes, it's still there. So let's see, what they talked to me about in this last week, and a lot of my friends and acquaintances we've been chatting about, is how seemingly more and more people are getting lacking in common sense, or a little bit. Have you noticed that people are getting stupider? I'm just going to say it's my way. And who's not noticed that people are getting stupider? Of course, it's not us. I want you to know, they think we're getting smarter, I'm sure. I'm sure when it's on the other side of the fence, they think we're getting stupider. So in that crude format, what we're talking about is everything okay? Okay. Is that separation, we've talked a lot about separation, and this is the era where separation is beginning to end or come to an end. And it's pretty much like, how many strawberries do you have to eat before you're sick of strawberries and want to do something different? Or the separation is becoming more apparent, not to demonstrate that there's separation, but to get you over some of your selective choices, or to be more allowing, or perhaps to get you to go play with your respective family groupings. And so that there really isn't any one path to divinity. As we talked about last time, Charles Dahmer had his own way of doing it, and you know, it still got him where he's going. And it just, from our side of the fence, it might not look very comfortable, but each and every one of you eclectically will have your own path to divinity. You've never made a wrong move or a bad mistake. It's all, and always in retrospect, you'll see how it got you to where you are. And that's true for everybody. And so in this era of separation, we're not assuming that everybody's all going to come together and just have one perfect concept of you sit in the sandbox and all share the same pail. And it's really not about that. It's about doing it your way. You're in charge, you're the boss, and to let the separation happen, so that as it all spreads out, you will choose your family grouping or your area of vibration. Heaven chooses your family. Thank heaven you choose your friends. Might work more in that way, or some of you will actually choose your family. There are a few families that are fun out there. Don't mean to exclude them all. So what's coming about in this world of seeing people look more like they're really not having common sense, or there's just something's going on where the gaps are really widening, and it's making a lot of people feel really lonely. How many of you are experiencing a sense of loneliness, even if you're like in relationship? So we got like half the groups having that. And some of this loneliness, or experienced it in the last year, I've seen it go in waves for people. And the loneliness is more of a who am I, where am I going, what's it all about loneliness. You could have this really great relationship, you could have just won the lottery. It's not about money, it's not about other people. It's more about where's my grouping, what's it all about. We talked a couple chats ago about what's my purpose. And the bottom line, there is no purpose, but the more you end up looking for purpose, that the purpose of looking for purpose is your purpose. So it gives you a sense of purpose to do that search. And this goes in with the more you know you don't know. And so what's happening as we draw to the conclusion of this end of the decade of truth, these last few years, is you're finally starting to fraction off, not into separation, but into more wholeness, into you finally having so many strawberries, you know, I'm really just sick and tired of strawberries. Maybe we'll try adding whipped cream to them, or having the pie, or getting more to it than just this linear selection. And so you're going to start demanding more of this texture. And in demanding more, or being more stubborn, or not putting up with the bullshit anymore, or let's call it impatient. How many of you found you got more impatient this last year? Yeah. What is patience anyways? It's like went out the door this last year. And it's about that, whatever it is that you might not even know why it is, but it's really pushing you or directing you towards more of what your truth is. And so on these last few chats, we've also talked about what is truth. We've been leading you up to this point about the whole purpose of all of this is there isn't one other than just to let go and let God. And who is God? It's you. And so your purpose is to not have a purpose, and trust that you decided on your purpose purposefully a long time ago. And the more you resist yourself, the more lonely it feels, the more exhausted you feel, the more you try to fit into your family of origin groupings. We're going to do a little reflections. One of the statements you'll hear come out of my mouth is that if you do it the way your family did, I promise you, you'll end up just like them, because that's the result of that. And so if you have guilt and shame because you're trying not to do it their way, the guilt and shame will push you back in and you'll end up with their same results. And that's I'm being generic. It's like my family has some cool parts and they have some not so cool parts. There are some parts you want to have, the eclectic choices. They are here to remind you of some things. But for the most part, when I look at my children, I want them to be different than me. I want them to go see a therapist at 25 and say, I just really don't agree with my dad's lifestyle or his. Do we want them to live our life? We all want our independence and our differences, and we want the same generation to always be the same. So what we're looking for is, who are we, what are we doing, where are we going? And it comes down to just living your life in your truth. And we talked about the truth setting you free. Now, when I say the word truth, a lot of people have been pounded on, this is the truth, the book has the truth, or this is the family and this is the truth, and or this religion or this financial situation, or working people have their truth, retired people have their truth. And your job is to be in your truth, even if you don't know it's your truth. That's sometimes the truth of it, in the moment. To be the best you could possibly be right now, even if you're totally wrong. In fact, I promise you, you're all totally wrong. In 2 or 3 days or 2 or 3 years, you'll look back and say, nope, I have a totally different opinion than I had that day. How many of you have the same opinion today you had when you were 6 months old? Or 6 years old, or 60 years old? It changes, and so you're really being asked to quit trying to identify yourself based on previous experiences or previous patterns, to start operating in your truth now. And as you begin to do that, it just happens more on a cellular or on a remembering basis. Your body starts letting your cells talk to you. And so what happens is your experience is more relative to a beingness than it is to a doingness. So that human beings versus human doings part starts happening. And at first, if you're resistant to that, you'll feel lonely. Or you'll feel impatient. Who do you think you're impatient with? You know, we have met the enemy, and it is us. So the people again outside of you, or the persons, places, things, and events, what you witness is reflecting where you're at. Yes, we're seeing groupings change off. If you see stupid people, it doesn't mean you're stupid. But I promise you, if you think they're stupid, they think you're stupid. It all depends on who you ask. So it's not about, oh, I see stupid people, I must be stupid. It's, what's the issue about it? What's the reflection? Why maybe we are acting stupidly? Maybe our whole belief that it's important to even pay attention to that is pretty stupid or limiting. You get to make your own decision to this. I wouldn't tell you. It's going to go up and down. Let's see, what's the other part on this? It's almost like a... It's like sticking your finger in the light socket over and over again. Like, how many times before you go, wow, that hurts, or I'm over that? That old joke, I'm sure you've all heard it, at least out of my mouth, if not Shecky Green and just about every other bad comedian on the planet, is, gosh, Doc, it really hurts when I do this. Well, then don't do that. And so it's getting down to that. But I got to do this because this is an arm and I'm supposed to do this with it. Well, maybe your arm isn't supposed to do that. And then in not doing that, you'll create other ways to do those things. It's like the Conquering the Disabilities TV shows, and they had some young man on the last couple of years that was born with no arms, and he does everything with his feet. Anybody seen that? It's amazing. The guy can do buttons faster than I can with his feet, eats great, doesn't spill. Oh, I'm always having to wear black for a good reason. A total slob. That hides what we had for lunch, I think. And so if that guy had arms, maybe he wouldn't get to have the notoriety or get to see that you can, that, or demonstrate to people that you can pretty much do anything you want, that an arm isn't just for using it as an arm. Functional fixedness is what they call it in Shrinkland. If you give a person a candle and a match that they think you're supposed to light the candle with it, and there's probably other things you can do with it. I haven't quite thought of it. The ones I do think of, you don't want to hear. Well, I think some of them were used. What was that show they were used on with with the, who's that lady who's doing all those sex, Madonna. Madonna did something pretty interesting with candles and matches recently, yes? So there's lots of different uses, and it hurt when she did that, and they kept on doing it. So sometimes maybe that resistance is great. So we're being asked to make no more compromises, and in stopping making those compromises, you're going to find that you get to start living in your truth instead of putting your, here's the better way to word it, quit waiting for the right set of circumstances to happen before you take action. There is no more opportunity than right now. This is the good old time, the good old space. And yet it looks like, ooh, in about 10 days it's going to be just right and that would be the time to do it. And in 10 days you're going to be a different person wanting to do different things. And how many of you have experienced that? You've waited until those what seemingly right set of circumstances came, and by the time they came there you weren't interested in having that anymore. You're already on to your next carrot to chase. And so you're just going from carrot to carrot to carrot, never. And when you finally get one, you know, I don't want that carrot, I want that carrot. And so the time, with all this separation and all this watching, all these changes, all these splits, all these frustrations, the loneliness, is about quit compromising who you are and be yourselves right now. And I promise you, the self that you think you are, you won't be tomorrow. And you'll, God, I was really wrong. And then you'll be wrong tomorrow in perspective 5 days later. It's always going to change. And so the bottom line is, make a decision. In the book, I joked about the I'm fucked up, you're fucked up book. Basically, what I mean by that is, how many of you have met an adult? Do you really think an adult exists? There's no such thing. How many of you in this land of the free and home of the brave have met a free and a brave person? The land of it makes it sound like a lot, doesn't it? I really do think it's just the land. They've said it right all along, but we've embellished it and thought it, but instead of the people. And then that isn't free either, especially around here, huh? Ask the Indians. So in this land of the free, home of the brave, that's crawling with all these adults, it's not true. And what I think, if we go through a series of lies that are tricks, the first one is Santa Claus and the Tooth Fairy. Now, I believe they do exist, but not third dimensionally. So, yes, the first lies you got to deal with was Santa Claus, the Tooth Fairy, the Easter Bunny. And that was for your young age grouping. And then the middle age grouping is, it's really important what your grades are, and people are going to really care about it forever after you graduate from high school. Like, as I always love to say to people, any of you got asked your grade point average this week from high school? Do you even remember it? Do you really care now? Were you almost suicidal over it at any point in your life? When it was like the thing to have. We go through these different groupings of lies, and in this current stage that you're in, it, one of the biggest lies that you get to deal with is that you will become an adult someday, and you will someday not be fucked up, and you will someday have freedom and bravery afforded to you, and everybody will operate under those conditions. The only time that's going to happen is when you choose it right now, and know that most of the people out there don't believe in it. And that's part of that seemingly stupid or the separation. You just have to start acting and operating in it. In the I'm fucked up, you're fucked up part, what I'm really attempting to intimate is all you have to do is just love and accept yourself just the way you are. Raise your hand and say, I'm the biggest wreck you'll ever meet, but I like it. And what you'll create is other people who like that version of a wreck that you are. Yeah, and they go, that's the kind of wreck, you look like the kind of wreck that I am, yeah. Then yeah, we have our good parts too, but that's the part we're always trying to present that illusion. We're hiding the other parts. We're being asked to finally accept that this is a really big lie. And to end this separation that's going on is to accept that there isn't a single adult that you've met. There isn't a single free and brave person here. And Nathan Hale was the only one I ever heard about when I came to America at 13. And the first class I ever took in school was when I was 13 years old. I'd had nannies and tutors up to that point, and they were about European history, not about American. So I finally come to America, land of the free, home of the brave. I left home at 13. This is going to be really cool. I'm totally set free. The very first class I have, the very first day I go to school, would of course be American history. And the person they were talking about that day I went to school was Nathan Hale. Give me liberty, give me death, kill the son of a bitch. Now see, I come from an outside view, So coming from an outside view, I went, wow, they really did have a brave and free person, and they killed him, and they brag about it. We think he's really cool because we killed him. It's really cool that we killed him, made him a martyr or whatever. So when you get brought up with it, liberty and death, and bump him off, and oh, that's cool, it makes sense. Sickly, somehow it makes sense. Just like, I'm sure if you guys grilled me on Italian history, you would just laugh at the things I believe. I might actually think Mussolini was a cool person. I don't know, some of you might be old enough to get Mussolini was a son of a bitch. But yeah, I thought he was pretty cool. He caused a lot of trouble. So see, it all depends on your perspective. And there is no such thing as an adult. There is no such thing as a healthy person until you accept that you're an adult just the way you are, and that you're healthy just the way you are, and it's totally fine, and that your levels of health are always changing and you're always improving or unimproving. It could be getting worse. It all depends on who you ask. My favorite thing when I left home was my mom, the last discussion we had that I said, I'm over this, is, you just really make me so mad, it gives me the right to beat the shit out of you. And I said, well, okay, get 10 of your friends and I'll do this same behavior. And two won't notice, two will agree with you and start beating me up along with you. Two will laugh. The other two will go, we don't see why you think that's so important. Which any of those two did I make feel which way? Or did they choose to feel that way? In this land of the free, home of the brave, you guys are really being challenged. And the culmination of all the things I've talked about, bear in mind, I never would tell you what to do. My great joy is just to attempt to create some concrete foundations so that maybe you can question what you believe. The best foundation is to believe what you believe. And when you change your mind, then believe the new belief you have. But a lot of you have beliefs you don't believe in. They're your family's beliefs. They're Nathan, they're that land of the free, home of the brave bullshit. They're Santa Claus and Easter Bunny. And so you're standing on quicksand. And so what we're chatting about today, as we bring it all together, after all these talks and all these human beings, human doings parts, and what is truth and what is justice and what is freedom, is you get to make that decision. And I promise you, there aren't two of you in the room that have the same idea. You might want to compare notes at the break we're going to have in a few minutes. And so your way is the best way, even if it nukes somebody else. You can only nuke somebody else if they let you. You don't get to nuke them. They nuke themselves, and they just let you do it so you could feel guilty about it. Vaughn and I were chatting today about her mom telling her, I'm really disappointed. They went on this family trip. I'm really disappointed in you. Your job was to kind of change who you are and accommodate all these other people's realities. And I said, oh, Vaughn, all you have to do is say to your mom, tell it to me this way, Mom. I'm really being selfish because I won't do it your way. Is that what you're saying? But at the moment, when they're getting you, it doesn't make sense. So only later you come out of it and go, oh yeah, boy, I felt really guilty about what? So the trick is to stay conscious. What I've been having great joy in doing with you guys is twisting and turning everything so that maybe you'll look at it from the back door, maybe you'll look at it from above. When somebody says something to you, you won't take it at face value anymore. Yes, there's a bunch of stupid people out there, and by the way, we're the stupid people too. It all depends on who's looking at who. But to be willing to be seen as the stupid person, Vaughn, I'm picking on Vaughn today, she gets to be the stupid person according to her mom. And she's sitting looking at her and going, my mom, she just doesn't get it. And my daughter's just so stupid. She's so selfish. She just, all she can think of is herself and her healing and her health and what she wants. Thank goodness. You know, so, but it you know, it all depends on where you stand. And so your jobs as we go through this separation is to be okay with separating into your group so then you can then have wholeness. What I saw just yesterday, we were watching TV, and it was showing all the stuff they're doing with DNA and all the changes and all the experiments on public TV. It was great. And I was watching them show little time-lapse things of cellular mitosis. And so it showed this whole egg that got fertilized, and then it divided into two, and it divided into four, and then it became a whole being. And I went, ooh, that's pretty cool. I think that's what we'll talk about today. Maybe it's through the division that you become whole. That's how we started. And maybe that's how we end. I don't know. I'm not saying it's the truth. I just noticed it yesterday, and I figured the universe showed it to me. I haven't seen cellular mitosis since I was looking at a microscope in college. It's been a little bit of a while. but here it is on TV going, and I'm sitting there, what am I going to chat about tomorrow? And so while as I'm laying there thinking about it, they show me little cellular mitosis, or meiosis. I think it's mitosis for us. They didn't say, I'm just trying to remember those big words they taught me. That's besides my GPA, I also wanted to use those big words they taught you that you, how often do you get to say cellular mitosis? or photosynthesis. I'm going to throw all those words out. They might not make the least bit of sense, but today's my day to use all these words. So we're going to use them. So maybe a concept to consider is as you go through all those divisions, and then they keep dividing, how does it become whole? And right now you're all going through a division, and we're seeming to have great resistance to the division because we're supposed to get whole. And I don't believe we yet understand how the division gets us to whole, but it looks like that's what's going on. And so instead of trying to understand it with our limited thinking, let yourselves divide. Let yourselves separate. Do not let shame pull you back in. Like, I would just love to sit there over a cell that's mitosis. Don't you feel guilty about that? And I want to see what it does. Why are you splitting? You're supposed to become whole. Oh, I'm sorry. And then see what it turns into. Probably a big mess, a wreck, something that's fucked up, like us. So the secret is, and I don't know what that'll do for your brains, it's just for me, when I saw that, I went, oh, there's an answer. I don't know what it means yet, but it's what, that's how we started, and it looks like that's how we're ending as we go through this bell curve. I talked about that little cartoon I saw years ago in Mad Magazine when I was visiting in America. And you've all heard me say it, but it fits right in here. It's a series of six or seven pictures, and the first picture's this little baby crawling, and he has his finger, and the pet dog is there, the little pet dog, and he's going, bang. And that's all you have. And then in the next picture, it's a young kid with the BB gun, and his dog looks a little bit older, and he's shooting at birds with his BB gun, and it's going, bang. And in the next picture, you see this great white hunter, and he has his handlebar mustache, and he's got his foot on this rhino, and he's got his gun, and it's going, bang. And then the last picture is this little old man in a wheelchair looking very much like the baby, except bigger, with the little puppy next to him, and his fingers like this going, bang. Oh. Goes through this whole cycle. And so I watch life all the time. It seems like we just keep going through these bell curves. And life has its ups and downs, maybe. And so part of what's going on right now is you're being asked to divide. And you're being asked to divide to have more wholeness. So that does seem like an oxymoron, doesn't it? Like jumbo shrimp or icy hot. Divide and conquer. So we'll take a break for a few minutes and just play with that in your brains. And we'll go from there. So 10 minutes? All right, so we handed out that little picture of perspective where the people are locked in the box, or apparently locked in the box, and so the guy pulls out his pencil and draws a relief, and out they go. There's always different ways to look at things, or there's many... when you hang out with Annie here, she always sees things very differently than I do. It's very fun. So I think this is the perspective, and she'll go, well, you missed these 15,000 things. Ooh, that's really good. And so, and I've yet to see her not be able to solve a problem, especially problems people would say are unsolvable. In fact, that's one of her talents. I'm doing a little Annie Rainbow commercial. There's some of her business cards over there. Is there anybody who thinks they've got themselves stuck in a paper bag or can't draw their way out? That's she's really good at. And I'm hoping that you guys will become good at. And so I always like to offer different perspectives. Some of the jokes you've heard me tell over and over and over again about I'm not afraid of heights, but I'm afraid of widths. Oh, you know, yeah. I love that joke. As a therapist, you know, here I'm working with people at times on an acrophobia or a fear of height. And the people in Denver obviously don't have a fear of heights. Or they wouldn't live. Isn't it the Mile High City, right? But Denver's like really wide, so they don't even care about how high they are. And so it seems to me that it's the width. And so all this time I was attempting to help them, I wasn't doing them any service. We were attending the totally inaccurate part. Or we talked about that Stephen Wright joke about 24 hours isn't in a row. Any of you not heard that joke? Well, I have to tell it then. It's my favorite joke of all times. I'll preface it with this. I grew up in Italy, or Europe, and in general, Italy primarily. We don't have 24 hours a row in Italy. We always have afternoons off. Like if you grew up in South America or Mexico, anybody from there comes up here and you say 24 hours, they go, oh, which 24 are you talking about? where you guys automatically think it means in a row, as you were brought up. That's one of the lies you were told, that 24 hours is in a row. Go try that in Italy and see what happens. Not even McDonald's gets to be open 24 hours. There's everything closes in the afternoon. And so Stephen Wright tells one of my favorite jokes of all time. It's 2 in the morning and I'm starving, so I went out to get something to eat. And there it was, open 24 hours. There he was inside mopping the floor. So I went up to the door and I pulled on the doors and they were locked. So I looked into the crack and I said, hey, it says you're open 24 hours. And he said, hey, not in a row. I love that joke. For me, it's totally accurate. Of course it's not in a row. He was that guy must be from Italy. Some Italian guy just bought a restaurant and didn't know how America works yet. So perspective, what you got taught is truth. I promise you, everything you think is a truth today is a lie. It's only a truth as long as you think it's a truth, and I promise you, there will be something that comes along to show you it's not. And it's different. There's always a different way to look at things. And so a new perspective, it's not so much a new perspective, I've been chatting about it for a while. I don't think I've done it with any of you. Annie and I have kicked it around for a while. And I just chatted with Ann over here about it yesterday. So it seemed like, oh good, it's time, if it comes up in conversation, it's time to mention it. I believe it's still a year or two ahead of time before you start seeing it in print. But it'll look something like, this is my best wording of it. A lot of people, when they see their therapist, the therapists are attempting to work with them on why they're going back to certain points in time in their childhood or in their history or their herstory to act out torture, to experience it so that they can release it, you know. And you've heard me say before, Jung says you repeat things over and over again until you have an excruciating cellular memory as to why you're doing it. I prefer to say aha and aha. Sounds a lot more fun than excruciating cellular memory. Thank you, Carl. So let's take a new tact or a new perspective to look at that. And let's first start with the possibility that every one of you in this room is an addict and that maybe your principal addiction is to life. Anybody here not addicted to life? Good. At least we have it. So everybody in this room, hi, I'm Bob and I'm an addict. I'm addicted to life. And so you would pretty much, even though you don't know it yet, would be willing to do anything to live or to have a life. Look, you're sitting here listening to me. That's pretty much proof as far as I'm concerned in this fucking hot room with this boring person. I would assume only addicts would show up to see me. So as we work on our addiction to life or discovering life, one of the things in life we most like is when we have relief. So if you look in your childhoods or look to the past, I believe that it's not only you reenacting the torture, but the great relief that comes in between the tortures. So it's a strong possibility in the world of heights and widths that instead of all this time your therapist has been taking you through the heights, I'm working on reenacting this moment in pain so that I can call it forth cellularly and have an aha, see what it is, I won't die, I was just a kid, I survived it, shouldn't fuck with me now, I'm fucked up, you're fucked up, they're all fucked up, okay, now what? Let's go forward in our life. The other possibility is maybe you're all really not enjoying the torture and you're really not reenacting the torture, but you're willing to do the torture over and over again because you're addicted to the relief that comes in between. And that relief is very exciting. Right, Jan? Relief, pain relief is a really cool thing. Like she's going through tremendous pain, and when you have that relief, you'll cry. Or like orgasms, and you'll cry. There'll be these points where the relief is so great that you are so excited, or you're all worried about money and some little magic thing happens and you get money, and you are like on cloud nine that you got that 50 bucks or... Martin's not here, but Martin Donald just told me a story today. He was down to his last few pennies and he really was feeling like having some food. I said, that's a good idea, Martin. So I think I'll go have some chicken. And he went to the grocery store and he had just a few dollars, and on his way into the store he found 50 bucks on the floor. Was it 50? Yes, he found 50 bucks. I said, that's a lot of chicken scratch, Martin. So you guys really must be addicted to put up with my really bad jokes. He thought it was okay too. So boy, are we really sick. So the universe sent him money for a little extra chicken. And he had great relief about it. It's 50 bucks. He was just like in heaven. And so maybe he created all this money torture and this decision to go and get the chicken, and I don't know, it's my last few dollars, and he goes, and then the 50 bucks, you're just like, he's like, I can see him almost doing that Snoopy thing, with those $50. Haven't we all had that wonderful experience where something did the great relief? So I'd like for you to consider the possibility that you might be addicted to the relief. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with being addicted. We've all already recognized that we have a propensity towards addiction called life. And once an addict, always an addict. Yes? According to all these different systems. Or I'm fucked up, you're fucked up. Is there anything wrong with being addicted to life? Anybody have a concern about that or wish that they weren't and would like to go to, it's not Alcoholics, I guess it would be L.A. Oh, you don't want to go to L.A. Those who live in L.A. are not addicted to life. They're addicted to torture. That's a whole different chat. But we'll call it L.A. since it's such a paradox, right? Icy hot, an oxymoron. So life addiction. And so if people are talking, instead of Bill W., I guess it gets to just be you. Get to be your own healer, your own foundation person. So is there something wrong with being an addict then? Maybe 2 minutes before I said that, you thought, well, you know, I don't really want to be an addict to anything, or addicts are weak people, or addicts have this or that. And I want you to show me, again, we looked for the person who's an adult. I want you to show me the person you've met that is not addicted to something, especially starting with life. There is no such thing as somebody who's not addicted. If they weren't, they wouldn't be here, this land of polarity. So the fun part is pick your addiction. You know, choose in this moment, just choose right now what it is, where you're going, what you're doing, even if you're totally wrong, because I promise you, the minute you make the choice, it will at least expose what you do and don't like, where you do and don't want to be for that moment, and then you can make more accurate choices. But don't sit around in your addictions or waiting. Make a choice now. If any of you are, and many people right now are going through this midlife crisis, we'll call it. I mean, midlife, big life, mid. We're not talking about an age thing. We're talking about midlife. There's a big transition going right now in this decade of truth. And I've talked about it before, but Joy during the break asked me to mention it, so it fits in here. Again, I want to remind all of you, and for those of you who haven't heard me chat before, that if you'll simply take the time to look around at, speaking of time, that's what we're going to talk about. Do you notice that there is no time to do anything anymore? Even if you're retired, the time is warping. Time is folding on itself, or what? I don't have the language for it. It's different. It's bending. So if you look at it as accommodating like light, or it's warping and bending, it's changing. And for me, looking at it lately, up to the last couple of years, I used to say that it took 24 hours to do what you used to do in 12. It's going so exponential now that I've noticed for me it takes 3 or 4 days to do what I could do in an 8-hour day. I don't know how many of you are having that 3 or 4 day experience. It's really getting exponential right now. And what we're looking at is you must choose who you are. We don't even have the... I actually have to talk fast so that we get this all out, because it's only a 20-minute chat we're really having. Yeah. Honey Spence has just offered, for those of you listening to the tape or in the room, the solution to this is become a human being instead of a human doing. Because when you're just being, time is an irrelevant concept. Time is only based on when you think you have something to do in a certain period of time and you have to have an agenda. And we all get in our addiction to life and what we think the rewards will be, what the high will be, is we have certain measurements, or what the relief might be or the ecstasy might be. As it all pulls together, we start creating resistances, and so that we can have that. And time is one of the resistances. And if we're in reaction to time, you're certainly not going to be in creation. If you're in reaction to anything, you're not in creation. Though resistance isn't necessarily a bad thing. It depends on your perspective of it. We'll pick on sex a little bit, because in the world of pain and resistance, it can actually be a very appropriate thing. At those times, there's sometimes the resistance to things, or the holding back, or the extra pressure or extra pushing can lead to even greater ecstasy, greater relief. in our addiction to pain relief or our addiction to relief of that tension. Yet at the same time, we don't think of it as a bad tension, where when we're sitting in our office going, God, there just isn't enough time to do all this, that might be considered a bad tension. I don't know, and I don't know what's good or bad. I'm not sitting there having orgasms in my office. I wish that. I'm working on learning to love that tension so that I can consider this change an orgasmic experience. At the moment, it's quite the opposite in my resistance to it. Time is changing. I can't tell you the who, what, when, where, whys, and hows, other than it's really the bottom line is it's attempting to get you back to your namesakes. The more you're attached to information in this era where information is going to be doubling every day by the year 2012, look at the way it is right now. It is on the move. Every second, in fact, is what the newspaper article said. Not every day. I tried to be a little generous. The scientist that made the little article that Adolphine Carroll read to a group here 4 or 5 years ago, information's doubling every 100 years right now. 10 years ago, it doubled every 1,000 years. And by the year 2012, that they projected, they being the scientists and their computers, that information will double every second. And I've yet to see them be wrong. And just in the last 4 years from when they made that statement, when it seemed like, oh, that might not be so, virtual reality kicked into high gear, morphing. We're having so many different realities and textures, and information can come in just a 2-second experience that would have taken years to define before. Our children are being brought up in a society where those things they're doing in movies that seem so extraordinarily outrageous to us and so beyond reality is normal and boring to them. Oh, I've seen that movie. That's boring. Let's get something closer to reality. Let's get some real energy here. They're going to be doing multi-dimensional traveling. The stuff that they're going to do that's getting set up, we're just going to look like a bunch of old farts. And that's our job. Our parents are old farts, we're old farts, and their kids will think we're old farts. It's just all going down the line. You're being asked to let go and let God, and again, who's God? I'm looking at all the different versions of that person. And your job is to quit resisting whoever it is you are. If you go ahead and try to pretend everything's cool and everything's, it's not going to do you any good. It's an illusion within an illusion. You're not getting to experience who you are. And so the people that relate to you or react to you are reacting to the pretend you, so you're not making any progress. Stuart Wilde words it this way, a wimp with a shield is still a wimp. Yeah. Yeah. I'll tell it like it is, Stuart. Yeah. It's like Chris Griscom, she doesn't pull any punches either when going into relationship is handpicking your executioner. Oh, don't hold back anything, Chris, huh? Well, don't be afraid to tell it like it is. So what you're all going through is, what's really important to understand is you are addicted, you do like relief most likely, you're all fucked up, and guess what? It's totally fine. The decision that's always been under your nose, and we'll pick on the Wizard of Oz here, click your ruby slippers 3 times and get yourselves back to Kansas. But you'll realize that you've always been in Kansas. This is the good old day. It's only your beliefs that this is a good or a bad thing projected out, and then people tell you, oh, it's a good or a bad thing. I promise you, when you believe it's a good thing, everyone will tell you it's a good thing. If you believe it's a bad thing, everyone will tell you it's a bad thing. Or some of them will say it's a good thing. Oh, no, it's a bad thing. They'll just remind you how bad you think it is by telling you how good it is. The part that's up right now is you're going to get real exhausted. And you've all heard me say it a million times. If you resist all this, go ahead and try to hold on to information. Go ahead and be attached to your GPAs. Go ahead and be attached to your degrees and your titles and identifying yourself with what you do. And remember, we've made fun of these things, and please don't take them personal. It's just for insight. I will ask you guys how many of you are vegetarians, and I go, well, gee, that's really a crime. That's something you do 3 to 5 times a day for 20 or 30 minutes at a time is your identity. What about the other 22 hours in your day? Well, I go to the bathroom just about as much as I eat. Am I a bathroomarian? Yeah, so these deaf, I know, I just have to giggle when somebody says I'm a computer analyst or I'm a this or I'm a that. Well, that's really nice. What do you do the other 20 hours of your life? We're not what we think we are. We're not defined by what our actions are, even if we're really great at it. even if we're really great at it. And some of you get really limited because you're extraordinarily talented at what you do, and everybody, including yourselves, lock yourselves in there because, oh, well, that's your life, that's your mission, that you're a healer, you're a psychic, or you're a performer, or a dancer, or a musician, or an artist. And no, that's something I do a few hours in a day. There's still 20 more left, or 16 more. That you're whatever you are in the moment. As you get more into being a human being instead of a human doing, you are what you are right now. Like in this room right now, it looks like either you're a breath Aryan or a water Aryan or a gum Aryan. That's the three groupings I'm seeing right now. If we're going to make diet the way we recognize ourselves at this moment. Doesn't it seem kind of stupid to decide at this moment in time that diet is how we're going to relate to each other? And yet some people will get, and I'm picking on that one because it's like smoking and not smoking. It's something people get really fanatical about. We could do religion, but it's been so worn into the ground, I want to pick on something different. So to limit ourselves to whether you're a Christian or not, or a metaphysician or not, or, how many of you really believe there's such thing as a metaphysician or a Christian or... you go into any church and you ask each one of them individually what their definition of Christian is, I promise you, unless they memorize some script, it's totally different. Yet they all agree, are we all Christian soldiers? Yes. And, well, some of you are privates. And some of you work in KP all the time. And yes, they're soldiers, but we need to ask their rank. And sometimes it's rank. It's true. So time is warping. Perceptions are warping. It isn't about height, it really is about width. And maybe it is about relief, and maybe it isn't about going for your pain. So maybe instead of making yourselves bad people because you keep reenacting your torture, maybe you can word it, I keep reenacting in my life my relief. At which point in time are we going to pick on? The time where you're torturing yourself or the time where you're having relief? March into your therapist's office and say, I'm addicted to relief and I like it. And I don't fucking want you to fix me. I want you to expand my periods of relief. Teach me how to do relief bigger. I'll take 2 minutes of torture for 10 years of relief. Well, I know, who knows? What's your price? Every one of you has a price. You're doing it right now. How much torture for how much relief? If you understand that that might be what you're doing, maybe it'll give you some more power over making a different decision. Instead of trying to shrink your torture, expand your relief. You have that choice. Yes, it's not about height, maybe it is about width. I don't know how to do that yet because each one of us are different. A lot of people right now in my reality system are really dealing with what to say to their families. They've come to a certain point in their life. Yes, there goes the energy in the room. They're coming to a certain point in their life where they want to be able to tell whatever it is their truth is right now without having to have it qualified or explained or quantified. This is my truth. This is who I am right now. Not even like it or leave it or like it or lump it. It just is. And if you have an issue with it, go see your therapist. Or you're going to have to accept it, that we're all fucked up. The fun part, when I say I'm fucked up, you're fucked up, I say it with a big smile on my face because I've not met that healthy person. I have not met that adult, and I haven't met the Easter Bunny. Now, Annie's seen Easter Bunny, but that she's the only person I know that's actually seen it that hasn't been on drugs. And so you guys might want to talk to her about that. That's a real experience for her. I haven't met a free or a brave person in America. The ones that I was about to meet got killed. You know, I wanted to meet Martin, but they shot him. And I wanted to meet John Kennedy, and they killed him. And, the free and brave people have a way of, not getting to be free and brave other than for 5 seconds. Give me liberty, give me death. Well, that's easy. We already know the answer to that one. And so you guys get to be unattached and watch out about your fear. Because what you got taught to be without knowing it, as we brag about Nathan Hale here, is you got taught to brag about how fucking scary it is to proclaim freedom and autonomy and independence here. Because the minute you do it, build the gallows. Joy and I were just talking in the break about there's a great many women going through menopause on the planet right now and all this confusion about should I or shouldn't I take hormones? What about the natural or unnatural way? Everything's going fine. All of a sudden I'm running all this heat and all this energy. And it's been my experience in menopause that's the time when women really come into their power but being a patriarchal society, terrified of that, we pretty much told women they're weak and going to be homeless little old ladies, and just wait till you have menopause, then it's really going to happen. Now we're going to tell you you're going to get brittle boned, you're going to have that big hump on your back that's really attractive, and your skin's going to dry up so you're going to look like you lived in Arizona your whole life. And, oh, I can hardly wait till I have menopause, it sounds like so much fun. But they don't tell you the whole truth. That's only if you stop your energy and you don't claim your birthright. In the American Indian tribes, that's when women became elders. That's when they got celebrated in their power. That's when the Kundalini energy really starts running. And if any of you are having menopause or playing with it, you'll find that the only time you get heat or hotness is when you block all that Kundalini energy because of the fear of if I'm powerful, then I'll just disintegrate even earlier, or they'll really isolate me. Or if I run all this energy, then I'm going to wear out what I have, and I need it so that my skin can stay young a little longer. We've really done a good job of bullshitting you guys into believing that that's a horrible time in your life when it can be and is designed to be the time where you get where now the energy is fully available to you. It's a hyphen with thing again. We need to look at those perspectives and all the tricks, and everybody's getting those things pulled on them. Every single one of you, as your birthright, has angelic guidance and has a psychicness. Somehow in our society we've made psychic, because it's been science-oriented, psychic is something a few people do, or it's some woo-woo, and it's something you all do. In fact, from my perspective, science is the amazing miracle that it even works. You know, I want to question science as to how they think they work in contrast to things, but I'm on the other side of the fence. Every one of you has as your birthright intuitive abilities, knowingness, and it's about if you're going to be human beings, you'll get to have it. If you're going to be human doings, it totally keeps you busy with all this stuff that's not truly you, so you're not being still and knowing that you are God. And it gets in the way. And it's really scary to be still and know that you're God, because the minute you stop and sit still, the whole world's going to say you're going to starve, you're going to be a homeless little old lady or a useless man, and who do you think you are, and the people work in this family or America, love it or leave it. It's real interesting that this love it or leave it thing, when I never once heard out of these people who were complaining in the first place, they were complaining about America, they were complaining about the people who say America love or leave. I wasn't complaining about America, I was complaining about you. So I'd rather love you or leave you, but this has nothing to do with property rights. And so you've all gotten a lot of brainwashed. I come from another country, so I'm sure if you guys would come see me in Italy, all the propaganda they got put on me that I'm not aware of, it does get exposed here because it's so different. America than Italy, and definitely different than my birth lifestyle, where I get to look at you guys and I get to, so I'm making fun of it, but please know I'm not making fun of you. I just want to expose it for you, because that's a part of your foundation. If your foundation's all this bullshit quicksand, then you go over here to the Thunderbird books and you load up with weighted information and you try to go somewhere with it. I promise you, if you're not standing on a solid foundation, all that information's going to do is make you sink. Yeah, the more you know, the more you know don't know. In fact, the more you know, the shorter you feel, because you're sinking. And so that doesn't mean the information isn't cool. It's you got to look at all this, anything that comes out of my mouth or your mouth with other people or any beingness, look at it from your own perspective. If you guys chat about what it is you thought you heard me say, you'll all have heard different things. Some people will say, well, that was totally boring. Some will say, well, that was very inspiring. Some will say, that really pissed me off. Yeah. Who cares? It's your own reality. And your jobs are to just pick and choose what parts you relate to here. Recognize that you might just be looking for pain relief. And why not? In the world of I'm fucked up, you're fucked up, it seems like a really cool plan to me. Doc, it really hurts when I do this. Well, then just don't fucking do it. And that'll be $25. That's the part.